Hey everybody, welcome to Navel Gazing. My name is Eugene Driscoll of valleyindy.org. Today my guest is Pam Maudie. She is from the Alliance for Prevention and Wellness, a program of BH Care. And Pam and I, this is like our ninth try in the last 45 seconds to start this interview, but we're going to talk about the anxiety and how to cope with anxiety and fear of the stress that I assume we're all under as the COVID-19 pandemic works its way through not just the planet, the country, our state, but our community as well. So Pam, thank you so much and welcome back to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, Eugene.
And you're the expert. I have a tendency not to shut up, basically because I'm not talking to adults all day long. It's just me teaching my kids or attempting to. So if I talk too much, just jump in there and tell me to be quiet. But I thought one thing maybe we could start, and then feel free to direct the conversation the way you see fit. But I put something on Facebook, on the Valley Indy Facebook page, just about a half hour ago before I called you up. And I just said, hey, I'm going to interview somebody who can talk about resources available to help us through this. And I asked people, does anybody have any tips? And does anybody have anything they want to share? I mean, I have my own stresses going on. And I got a message from somebody privately, and I won't go into huge details because the person did send it privately. But basically, this person is in the situation where a loved one has COVID-19, is in ICU. This person is now worried that other family members in the household are going to get COVID-19 and just all the things that go along with that. And so they are really deep into this. So somebody that's in that situation, and we know there's a lot of people out there. We're unfortunately losing senior citizens in Shelton on an almost daily basis at this point in the nursing homes within the city of Shelton. So it is happening in our community, and there are people in that situation. How can a person like that, what can they do? What resources are available, Pam?
Well, I think in the first part of my response is I'm glad that the person, you know, people are reaching out and people are talking about this, because that's really their first piece of self-awareness that they're feeling more than normal levels of stress. And they might have some anxiety and some worrying going on in regards to what's going on with this infectious outbreak of the COVID-19. And so it's really good that they're already self-aware of what might be impacting either their mental wellness or even their physical wellness, because, you know, having us understand those signs of stress in these times is really important. And as you mentioned, you know, what are things that they can do? You know, it's really hard because we know that people could be exposed before somebody is developing symptoms. So, you know, it's just the number one thing is to keep monitoring their own physical health for symptoms. You know, proper hand washing, proper social distancing is really important, even though they want to be with their family and be connected. You know, that brings on a whole another level of stress for the caregiver if their loved one is hospitalized and with the social distancing, they're not able to go. But, you know, depending on the case, sometimes folks are able to connect using FaceTime or other mechanisms of, you know, we have healthcare providers who are willing to help people connect via those for especially our elderly population who may not be as in tune to using technology, just working with some of the staff to see if they could connect so they could see each other if the person's in such shape that they can at least be on video chat through different platforms together. But knowing the signs of stress and really self-care, we know in these times if our stress level increases, it decreases our immunity. So we may be more likely to get ill when we have those factors going on with stress. So really taking responsibility of our own mental wellness and doing things daily that can help, realizing that if there's other things going on to prioritize, you know, maybe their number one priority is to do some self-care and not worry about everything else that needs to get done. So kind of putting things in perspective of, you know, what comes first.
And then, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask. I was just going to ask quickly if, let's say, this is a scenario, not real life, but mm-hmm. Hypothetical. Yep. If my mother goes into the hospital and is in ICU, and you know, I can't concentrate on my job, I'm completely stressed out because of what's happening. At what point? If I want to reach out to somebody on a professional level, what do I do? If I've never been to a therapist before, never had any kind of counseling, or like, how do I sort of navigate that? Who do I turn to? Where do I go, either online or a phone number? What do I do?
So in that situation, I mean, there's several options there. So with that, you know, maybe they need to take some time off of work and so they could focus with their loved one. Maybe through their employer, they have a employee assistance program in which they could call through their EAP, and they have access to behavioral health support via the phone. Most of our behavioral health providers, including BH Care right now, we are doing telehealth. BH Care also, for our folks in the Valley, we still have our open access phone number where they're able to do telehealth if needed. They could meet with individuals if they didn't have the access to do things, again, with proper protocols in place and social distancing. There's also a lot of online resources, which I was about to go into, of what people can do. And, you know, sometimes making that first call for some might be the scariest, but there's a lot of support for people who are going through this. And, you know, we all keep hearing it through the media, we're all in this together, but we really are. And, you know, it's really important that we take care of our, not just our physical wellness, but our mental wellness through this. The CDC has set up a disaster distress helpline, and that's 1-800-985-5990, or you could text Talk With Us too. So Talk With Us to 66746, and they have a talk line. There's also a lot of available online resources, so not just for folks who might be dealing with this with their mental wellness, but if folks have a substance use disorder, there's also online resources with support groups. So we have support groups both on the mental health side, the substance abuse side, that are virtual support groups that people could call into. People could join via video chat. So it's really important that people know what resources are out there. And it's also really important for people to be self-aware of things that they could do on their own. You know, what are some practical ways that they can help themselves? There's a lot of great apps that people could download on their phones or on their computers that will teach them ways to relax by doing deep breathing, stretching, and meditating. You know, these are all things that people can learn that will help bring their anxiety down and help them refocus.
What's an example also, of one of those apps? One of those apps. I've heard that before. What's like the name of an app?
One that comes to mind is like the Breathe app or like the Calm app, any of those. There's so many different ones, but those two come to mind because we had, for some of our trainings, we give out some common apps, and those are some more of the most popular ones that people have used that were on our resource list. But, you know, going back to that, part of that self-care that's really, really important of making sure they're taking care of themselves, because if they're not taking care of themselves, they're not going to be there to take care of their loved one. Mm-hmm. And that's really important that those self-care tips really come into play. Mm-hmm. You know, making sure that they're exercising, that they're eating well. Go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt, but in terms of one thing I'd mentioned, I had emailed this to you before we started talking, but everyone's thoughts and minds are with grocery store workers. I mean, people who have never been asked, as far as I know, in the history of the country, to sort of put their lives at risk to a certain extent. That's got to be stressful, because I don't think you have training or any kind of protocols in place if you're a grocery store worker about how to protect yourself in the midst of a pandemic. Is there any particular, I mean, a lot of this advice probably applies to all of us, but just in terms of those sort of non-traditional frontline people that we're seeing being affected by this, have you heard, or maybe has anybody, BH Care, reached out to store workers or anything like that, or unions? Is anything like that happening?
Not that I have heard of immediately. I know some of the larger grocery stores that do have a lot of full-time employees have put different protective measures in place. I know a lot of them have installed like the plexiglass. They've installed the stickers on the floor. They're providing them with protective equipment. I know some of the, where I go grocery shopping, they had people counting how many people could go in. They were sanitizing all the carts. Like when you, if you were to get anything out of the frozen, they had people like some, they had extra workers actually working to keep constantly wiping those things down. Mm-hmm. But the workers were all in, you know, proper protective gear as well. I know the few times I've gone to the grocery store, I've always thanked them for being there and working. So just, you know, engaging them in that conversation and doing that, you know, all of us have a responsibility to make sure everyone's doing okay. And, you know, just ask, are you doing okay? And if they say no, you know, the more we could get these online resources and that there's help available for them if they're feeling anxious or fearful, or just, you know, telling them take a few moments out of the day to do some health, some self-care. And sometimes, you know, we're not all good about what is good self-care and what's important. But I think, you know, it's not going home and pouring that glass of wine or having that glass of beer for self-care, because we don't want to increase our alcohol, tobacco, or any of that use. We want to make sure that we're sleeping well, that we're relaxing. So maybe that self-care would be to go take a hot bath or to sit down and read a really good book. You know, there's different types of self-care just so they could get their mind off what they're going through this stressful time, that they are now a frontline worker that they never envisioned that they would be an essential worker or frontline worker. And just making sure that their employers are communicating out the resources that are available out there. And then, for them, whether it's an EAP or community-based resources. And, you know, a lot of our providers, I know BH Care has some really good relationships with some of our local chain grocery stores. And then I know our health districts have also been doing a really great job in education and getting these tips out there, not just for the employees, but, you know, we also have to recognize that the employees might have a lot when they're going home with distance learning with children, and their kids might have some fear and anxiety from what's going on. So how are, you know, when they go into that other role of parent, like how are they dealing with all the different new stressors that they suddenly just got pushed into?
I've had, and I'll be honest with you to share something personal. Like my temper is, I'm getting angry a lot and I feel guilty about it, but you know, getting up in the morning, doing work for the Valley Indy, and then switching over to teaching my kids math that I failed math in school many, many times. And I find myself being like, I got to get away from this. I can't deal with it. So it's all these stresses that I did not expect to even have to handle, you know? So it is a lot. And we had a question, or I had a question. There's no we anymore, but we meaning you and I, even though I didn't tell you this was coming, but I, you know, some people just asked questions randomly, and somebody asked on Facebook, on Valley Indy Facebook, individuals that are in isolation, you know, or they're practicing social distancing, but they already have pre-existing issues such as depression or anxiety disorders or PTSD. Mm-hmm. What can a person in that position do? I mean, you sort of talked about this, but just to answer that question.
You know, it's really important that they connect, have some type of connection, and socially connect. So whether, you know, they go to an online meeting, an online support group, even going online and finding, you know, something that they're interested in for a group. There's so many different ones. If they're into creative things, creative art, you know, going online, if they have that access to make that connection. Really, we have to think of ways that we could socially connect. You know, can they go outside and, you know, sit across the street from their neighbor and wave or just to show? Can they go for a walk outside? Being active is really, really important. Finding something that maybe they were curious about that now they have the time to learn it. Maybe it was an instrument from when they were younger and now they want to, you know, start replaying it. Maybe it's a craft project. Maybe it's learning a new language. Any of those things of something that they want to learn. Maybe it's creating a new cooking dish with ingredients that they have in their house, you know, and also for them to practice mindfulness, to really take in the surroundings around them. I mean, we have spring coming up. Well, we're in spring right now, I should say. You know, is there a flower that they could see outside in their yard? Or, you know, can they go for a walk around the block that's keeping social distance? Is there a bird that they, you know, are there birds that they could watch out their window if they're in an apartment or a condo? Look for things around them that might bring them some inner peace and really use that mindfulness piece, the deep breathing to connect. We also have, you know, for folks who are in that situation, our faith-based institutions who are doing a lot of social connectiveness through online type of things. And even if they don't have access to that, you know, many people find faith to be very comforting in these situations. Can they go on and watch a mass on TV? You know, that's being broadcast all the time on TV on different channels, especially on the weekends. So maybe they could connect that way. Others we find, it feels good for them to do something. They've been, you know, we've had a lot of folks who have been selling and donating medical masks. We've being generous with their time and talent that way. Others are being generous with time and talent of, you know, helping a neighbor order groceries to be delivered online who might not have that access. So really trying to keep them socially connected while socially distancing or being in isolation can really be beneficial. And also, you know that if they are connected to services, those services are still there for them. They may just look different. They might not be face-to-face, but they're still, you know, available through the telephone or through video chats, et cetera.
Yeah, well, that is some really great advice. In terms of some other comments we had, people also, I asked them to share their tips, and I thought I would just share some of these with you because, I mean, it's just... Facebook has a lot of downsides, especially as a reporter to some extent. You know, sometimes reading comments for 11 years, that has a whole other impact, I think, on my mental health. But on other times, it's wonderful. I mean, this is Melissa Warner. I had asked, like, what are some tips that you do that you find helpful? And people were saying, Melissa Warner, I have cats and I spend time with my cats. They're very good at relieving stress. Talk to your family, friends, someone. Don't hold it in. Don't let things fester. Talk to someone. Let it out, read a book, listening to music, going for a drive, turn the TV off, which is all.
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, not having the news running in the background all day long can be so beneficial because that, you know, just listening to the horrible news of it can really put a damper on people's thinking.
Yes.
And, you know, think about when we're upset, you know, or we're down, what makes you feel good? You know, for some people it's getting out in the fresh air and just taking in a few deep breaths. For other people, it might be exercise. For other people, it might be going for a walk. For other people, it might be turning on the music and just dancing or singing along with it. For others, it might be going and taking a nice hot shower. any of those things, find out what can bring us joy and help us let go of that negativity or the stress and anxiety of constantly seeing that on the news. You know, watch other TV shows, put on the radio and listen to music instead of having that TV on in the background, can really help, because we know that just consistently watching it can increase our anxiety and our fear.
Mm. Yeah, I know I have cut my cable news consumption down to almost nothing because it's just too toxic. It's just, and I can feel myself, I can feel it changing my mood just watching it. And then just one final one from a reader was Lisa Shemansky. She's been taking walks and coloring to relieve stress. Not watching so much of the news because I feel it's just creating more trouble. So some really good tips out there. Okay, so now I've interrupted you so many times, like I do every time we talk. Is there anything else? Any other areas you wanted to stress upon? Because I don't want to take too much of your time. I had said 15 minutes, and we're like at the 23 minute mark. But anything else you wanted to touch upon?
I think it's what we've touched upon. It's all really great information, and you know, I'll email you over so you can post them online of available online resources. But I think the most, you know, the biggest takeaway is that we need to realize these are different times and we shouldn't have such high expectations and realize that we need to go with the flow. What can we let go of? How do we prioritize? How do we keep a routine? Make sure that we're taking time out for activities that we enjoy. I know for myself, about every hour, I'll do a quick exercise of, you know, whether it's a 1 minute plank or 10 sit-ups, just to take that breather from being away from the computer. If it's nice out, you know, the sunshine and fresh air is so beneficial in these times. Even if you could just like stand outside for a few minutes. And then, you know, really that creativity piece, try something new. You mentioned someone talked about coloring. I mean, there's so many resources for adult coloring books, for downloadable sheets, for doodling. You know, there's virtual yoga. There's so many different things that we now have access to that we can try something new and keep that creativity going. Those are all good, beneficial ways to, you know, help with our own mental wellness. And then realize we really need to take those deep breaths and understand what's been stressful, reflect on that, and figure out how we're going to move forward from that stress. And sometimes it's not that easy. Sometimes it could really weigh us down. And if we're in that situation, I think that's when we need to recognize that there are supports available and to reach out and use those support networks. And sometimes it's great having support that's a non-friend or family member from that outside perspective, because they bring in a whole different listening ear and different level of expertise.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, Pam. And thank you for all you've done for the Valley for, I guess, at least 18 years, according to the website I'm reading right now. I really do. I've had you on the podcast probably 3 or 4 times over the years, and it's always a learning experience. So I really appreciate it, and I hope people listen. And this is definitely a message that I am happy to spread. So yeah, you email me those links. I'll edit this podcast as soon as we're done recording, and then I will we'll get it online this evening. So. Pam, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. And I'll send over those resources now.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, you too.
Okay. So that was Pam Motti, and she is the director of the Alliance for Prevention and Wellness, a program of BH Care. And I'll try to say it without stumbling over it this time. The Alliance for Prevention and Wellness, a program of BH Care. Until next time, this is Eugene Driscoll. Talk to you soon.
Well, I could be happy as a sardine in a can, but just as long as I got my woman. Yeah, I could run stark naked and live in an old oak tree just as long as she's with me, my woman. The cannibals could catch me and fry me in a pan, but just as long as I got my woman.